Okay.
We're back.
Following on from our last podcast, we are back. This is a doubleheader. The other reason I want to do this is we're going into E3, which, if you remember, when we started this podcast about a year ago, E3 was the thing we started with. I'm going to try to get there to be guest hosts. I cannot promise that we have enough podcast clout to bring them in.
Greg seemed nice.
Well, Greg was nice to us, but it might be because we were new. I don't know. I sent him a Skype message, and I said that if he was interested in doing it, that we would be here to do it. And that I actually know how to deal with file transfers now so that we wouldn't have the same fiasco we did last time. That said, I don't know. Apparently, what I've learned from you that there is a certain level of podcast clout that goes around. You're not allowed to just ask people to do stuff. You have to fill out the requisite forms in triplicates or someone will get mad and slap you because we are... podcasters. This is professional shit. We're not just a bunch of jackasses who got microphones and thought that people would want to listen to us on the internet.
Yeah.
Sure. Following on from what we were doing last time, we talked about Mazinkaiser, and we're going to start... We talked about robots in general, and Mazinkaiser was supposed to be the focus of it. Now we're going to talk about robots in general, and Getarobo is supposed to be the focus of it. And since we're talking about Getarobo, I'm going to start off with something from Gundam Wing. I said in the last time that Gundam Wing, the Gundam Wing movie, Endless Waltz, has one of my favorite anime lines in it. This doesn't top some old dubs, but it does... I really do like this. For some reason, Hero and Duo have to infiltrate some satellite asteroid base where they're doing some evil stuff. And they infiltrate with crappy mobile suits because they gave up the Gundams. Duo gets pinned down in a hallway by a guy who is basically spraying the hallway with chain gun fire. And as he is taking cover behind what looks like a steel girder, a giant steel girder relative to a mobile suit, he says, "Wait a minute, I recognize that fighting style. It's Troa." And he, of course, he's right. And over the mobile suit that is spraying him down with chain gun fire, you see this overlay image of Heavy Arms Gundam. And the thing that always gets me about that is, like, really? You recognize that fighting style? Oh no, Troa's mastered the ancient art of holding down the trigger button. We're screwed. He knows how to not let go of the fire button. That art was sealed years ago. It wasn't to be used again.
No.
And I think that qualifies the Gundam Wing movie as not being that bad. Actually, that doesn't. But yeah, I don't know. It's not terrible. It's actually pretty okay.
Yes, and now that you've had to bring up the Gundam Wing movie, I have to start off this podcast by bringing up... So, also, if we're talking about New Getter, I have to start talking about the old 70s show that I'm pretty sure started in 1974, which means that it's about 30 years beforehand. Because for those of you that know nothing about Getarobo, I'm going to encapsulate everything that makes Getarobo great into one solitary moment, even though that's probably impossible, but I'm going to try.
It is.
In the original show, there's a point where they're being attacked by dinosaurs, and they're in Getter 1. So Ryoma just yells, "Get the axe!" And it keeps reaching out behind his back and throws like 50 of them.
Podcast over. We're done. I don't need to... No. We could never say enough great things about Getarobo. New Getarobo, 2004, I think?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. New Getarobo was, as you would suspect, a New Getarobo OVA, 13 episodes, that I get... if it wasn't on purpose, they definitely did it anyway. The idea was to make a Get a Robo series that was more true to its manga form and Ken Nishikawa's overall idea of Getter. And to that end, there are a lot of scenes that are just pulled straight out of the variously made Getter Robo mangas.
Which reminds me, how did you say Getter Emperor happens?
Getter Emperor is the result of Shin Getter Robo combining with Mars. That's just how it starts. Getter Emperor itself is just so much better. Because the first time in the Shin Getter Robo manga that you see Getter Emperor, it is a vision that Ryoma gets as he is testing Shin Getter Robo. It's just, they're in the regular Getter machines. They're referred to as like Getter Emperor 1, but I want to think that because they're separate, you would call them the Emperor Eagle, Emperor Jaguar, and Emperor Bear. And Emperor Eagle is able to fire a Getter beam so powerful that it blows up a moon.
Which moon?
I don't know. Some fall of them. Space planet. You remember at the end of Getter Robo Armageddon when you see Getter Hala?
Yeah.
That is a scene pulled from the Shin Getter Robo manga. Not what they do, but that vision of the Getter Robo armada, that's pulled out of the Shin Getter Robo manga. It's fantastic.
Who are you, Frank West?
Yes. If I could spend my entire life making a career taking photos of Getter Robo, I'd do it. Even if it was still just a television show. I'm showing it on a television. I'm taking pictures of it with a high-res camera. If I could make a career out of that, I'd do it. Easy.
I would too.
New Getter Robo pulls a lot of the ideas. If you read the original manga, there are differences because New Getter decided to smash Musashi and Benkei together into one character because New Getter is its self-contained series. It wasn't like, we're going to start from scratch and we're just going to make all the Getter Robo manga into an anime. This is just a one-shot thing. It ends up being pretty fucking sweet. I don't know if you've garnered this from previous podcasts, but Getter Robo is my favorite super robot. Without question. Getter Robo is just everything. It has a lot of fun stuff happening. It's fucking crazy.
Ryoma's there. Hayato pokes a guy's ear off. In fact, he pokes two ears off from the same guy at the same time.
That is one. The way that the Getter team, other than Benkei Musashibo, is introduced, it is very much like how it is in the manga.
As it should be.
Well, there are differences because when Ryoma is introduced, this is after they've been testing the Proto Getter and they found out that normal people cannot pilot the Getter because you have to have big enough balls that you can actually use your balls as a way of controlling some of the extra levers.
Oh God.
Ryoma is traveling Japan. At this point, by the way, it still looks like Go Nagai drew it, but it is still Ken Ishikawa, not Go Nagai. Ryoma's father was apparently framed and downtrodden by other karate masters from across Japan because the Nagare-style karate is apparently super dangerous, which Ryoma can punch a dinosaur's brain in and its eyes explode out, so maybe they were right. But according to Ryoma,
Nagare-style anti-dinosaur power.
According to them, like, they had to do it because it was too dangerous, and Ryoma thinks that it was unjustified. What I love is that in New Getter Robo, what they do is Ryoma is being accosted by the Yakuza, who he apparently owes the land to that his dojo is built on. In the manga, Ryoma's just traveling around fighting various karate masters, specifically the ones that framed his father so that he can get revenge, which he does immediately, because this isn't about karate, this is about Getter Robo. So he goes to a karate tournament where they all are and says, "You all suck," and takes the trophy for the tournament and shatters it by punching it. And then they're all like, "Hey, how dare you infringe upon our honor?" And then they try to fight him, and he beats the shit out of all of them.
At once?
Yes, they all fight him at once, and he wins. Ryoma, ass kicker. Ryoma's also...
Ryoma, better than any religion you can ever think of.
Part of what I love about... Part of the reason that Getter Robo is my favorite is not just because of Getter Robo, but because I just like Ryoma. Ryoma is the essence of what I consider to be a fun anime character. He's fucking crazy, but he's totally badass. For all of you who really like Gurren Lagann, well, I do too, because it's a pretty good show, but Ryoma is the foundation on which Kamina lies. And then there's Ryoma himself, which is pretty damn good.
Yes, and it's important to remember what happens in Super Robot Wars Z2.
Well, according to what we've been told, they meet each other, they fight each other, and then they become best friends forever. Which is appropriate, because they're very similar people. Well, the best way I can think of to describe it is, imagine if Guy from Martian Successor Nadesco was actually in a super robot show, and he had based his entire life around being like Ryoma. Kind of like
so
he did.
So he's trying to be like the guy from Gekiganger 3?
Yeah, so like he already is. That's sort of where I feel Kamina lies. Except that Guy's probably more familiar with breasts, so he probably won't freak out at the opera. I remember making this joke, about the Hot Springs episode of Gurren Lagann. I imagined, you know, when Yoko's top falls off and you don't see anything, because that would be weird. But Kamina and Simon both see her, and I always imagined Simon thinking something really profound about the beauty of human life, and Kamina just sitting there thinking to himself, "Boobs.
Finally, I got out from underground to see this."
This is the whole reason I came to the surface. My dad
screw giant robots. I came up here to see tits.
Yeah, there weren't that many tits underground. I mean,
there were
some.
There were, but the village elder kept covering them up with cloaks.
Yeah, we need real surface.
I'm sorry, but I need to see breasts that are bigger than my balls.
Well, I mean, real surface 14-year-old girls like Yoko, they really know how to shake the... I don't know how to finish that.
Foundation.
I don't care. It doesn't matter. We're talking about Getter Robo. After Ryoma gets accosted by the Yakuza and beats them up, of course, he goes home to his dojo and he's attacked by these three guys he think are Yakuza, but actually they're not, and this is one of my favorite fight scenes in the whole show, because Ryoma gets hit in the shoulder with a knife, and, well, what I like about that is that he actually gets three knives thrown at him, and he deflects the first two by hitting them with his bare hands. The third one cuts into his shoulder. They don't mention this in the anime, at least I don't remember them doing it, but in the manga, he tells them, "All you did was sever a tendon. I'm still ready to go."
Wow.
Yes. You can make Ryoma's arm more or less inoperable, and he'll still kick your ass.
You could probably make him a quadriplegic, and he would do it.
He'd bite you to death. He would wiggle his hips and fling himself at you.
I have this catapult ready, just in case.
Of course. I mean, and that's not even just it. He barehand catches a sword wielded by one guy, turns it so that he stabs the other guy in the head, breaks the sword with his bare hands, stabs the guy who was wielding the sword in the first place, then throws the broken piece of sword at the guy who was throwing knives, and it cleanly severs his arm.
Ugh. God.
And of course, after that, losing a lot of blood, Ryoma gets shot in the neck with an animal tranquilizer that will apparently kill normal people. But even after being shot with that, he has enough energy to go and kick the shit out of Dr. Sadame's bodyguards, who look like they're CIA agents.
Yes, and then Dr. Sadame just slaps him.
Slaps him in the face with his shoe.
I love my... do you remember what I said the first time I ever saw that?
What?
Ryoma freaked out because, like, oh my god, my complexion.
And then he passes out. And that's not even That's not even the end of it, because Ryoma wakes up in what looks like an insane asylum cell.
Yes, all the walls are padded.
Supposedly they wanted to make an anti-Ryoma room, but... making a padded room that's also steel with a steel door, he just kicks that shit down. So after kicking down a steel door, they go out and he finds the room. The classical Getter Robo enemy are the Dinosaur Empire, the Reptilians. In this, they decided to sort of make a mix. They're still the first enemy of Getter, but they're the Oni. So they're a little bit more like a comp... But sometimes you'll transform into an Oni if you get bitten by one. So there's something of a combination of the Space Invader... of the Invaders from Armageddon and the 100 Demon Empire from Getterobu G.
Yes, so... all of you that really like the gay space wizards, don't worry. This show likes you, too.
Are they from space? Are they gay? Really, just one of them is Son Goku, and he writes with he fights with a scroll and calligraphy. Also, there's Seimei. Seimei is weird, because Abeno Seimei is a real person. He's a real historical sage in ancient Japan, and usually when he is depicted in anime, he is depicted as a wise old man who gives off he has like a wise air about him, and he gives advice, and he's usually a good guy. Getter Robo has the balls to say this guy from history is evil! And
he's a demon lord!
He's like a Tau master who came back in time to fight Getter Robo. And when I say came back in time, I don't mean that he's from the future and he came to the present. I mean, he's from space and he came to Earth's past to fight Getter Robo because he knew that Getter Robo would go to the past one day.
Yes. And then eventually he just goes to the future. It's like, screw you.
We're getting ahead of ourselves because we haven't even talked about Hayato raiding the... We haven't even finished off Ryoma. Ryoma's introduction episode, which the introduction episode is called There Goes Ryoma. And I just imagine that being said by, like, either Hayato or Dr. Sadame while Ryoma's going off and beating the shit out of the Oni with his bare hands. It's like, there goes Ryoma.
Must be Tuesday.
Yeah, after that, the Oni start attacking the base, and Dr. Sadame is beating the shit out of them with an axe, and Ryoma is, of course, killing them with his karate. Dr. Sadame's son shows up with a shotgun and just starts evaporating the Oni from 15 feet away.
Yes, there's a point where an Oni grabs hold of Ryoma, and Dr. Sadame's son takes its head out with a shotgun.
From, like, 10 feet off, and what I like is that Ryoma says, hey, that's really dangerous shooting that far away from with a shotgun, and Dr. Sadame's son, I don't want to hear that from you. And I like Ryoma's response, yeah, I understand that.
I know I'm dangerous.
Yeah, well, Ryoma is dangerous. You could say that he's the most dangerous. I'm going to find a way to reference MD Guys in every podcast we ever do. I hate
forever.
I love that show because it's so dumb. But it's special. But I don't know. Ryoma, I feel like could... I don't know. I could talk about Ryoma forever. Ryoma is the closest thing I ever get to fanboying because I like Ryoma a lot. He's one of my favorite characters in anime.
What about Hayato?
You know,
come on, man. He pokes the guy's ears off.
You know what? I know that there are people who do not necessarily care for Hayato or,
Benkei.
Well, there are people who don't care for Benkei or Musashi, but there are people who don't care for Getter 2 or Getter 3, and my response is this. Because in this one, this is the best Hayato you can ever find. Outside of the manga, you're never going to find a better Ryoma Hayato than this one. In the manga, Ryoma actually goes to a school that Hayato has taken over in order to recruit him, and they do fight. And then they get interrupted by dinosaurs, and Hayato freaks out for a little bit. In this one, Hayato is raiding some base.
Hayato is a terrorist.
Hayato is also a terrorist in the original one. In the first, what they're doing in the...
He's a high school terrorist?
Yes. He is actually planning to assassinate a diplomat by exploding a bridge that they are on, but that's not the point. What they're going to do is they're going to blow up the bridge so that the diplomat will freak out and get out of his armored car so that they can snipe him from a distance. I don't remember why they're doing this. In the manga, there are these two guys who they join, and they're like, we don't really want to be part of this whole thing. And Hayato says, do you think being a revolutionary is a game? And that's when he pokes out the guy's ears. And you have to understand what I mean. When I say pokes off the ears, I mean he does a two-fingered thrust with both hands through the guy's ears, and they explode off of his head.
But you know what he was trying to do?
Nonsoseiken?
No. That's what he did on accident.
Yeah, okay. What was he trying to do?
Hokuto Fist of Penitence.
Ah, you gotta do that with the thumbs. Your aim was off and your thumb...
Yeah, I know. That's why he ended up doing Nonsoseiken instead.
He ended up cutting the ears off.
Oh, man. He's gonna die anyway.
Well, I mean, if your ears are poked off when you want to die, I don't know. I don't know too much about how the human ear works. If you just destroy the outer part of the ear, does the ear still work at large? I'm not sure. Probably not. That doesn't make any sense. But in this, they're raiding a base, which I don't really remember. Oh, I do, because they're trying to find out some sort of secret government program. Turns out it's the Sadame Labs. They go there, and this contains a reference to Cutie Honey, which I thought was cute. E-Honey. That's infinite. The thing that I actually like the most about that, though, is that they go in the room, and some of the scientists try to escape, so one of Hayato's underlings tries to shoot him with a grenade launcher. So, for his insubordination, Hayato just walks into the room and stabs him in the neck with a knife. Hayato does not... You will pay for your stupidity with your life. They get the information, and Hayato... Like, one of the scientists, I don't remember if it's one of the scientists or one of his underlings that says something, and then he claws out his eyes and pokes the guy's ears clean off. After this point, all of Hayato's dialogue in the episode seems to be nothing but fits of insane laughter.
I think you're right.
They go up to the,
He sees the owner, he's like,
yeah, that's all he does. And Hayato has, like, super long fingernails, which is how he apparently does an Nonsoseiken that allows him to claw at people. When I said claws a guy's eyes out, I don't mean, like, he scratches his face and the guy's eyes are cut. I mean, the guy's eyes come out. He ends up fighting Ryoma on a bridge into the Sadame Labs, and keep in mind, Ryoma was able to not only barehand block a sword, but break it with his bare hands and throw the broken part at a guy so hard that it cut his arm off, and then was able to sit up through an animal tranquilizer long enough to kick two more guys' asses after getting a knife through the shoulder. Hayato fights him to a standstill. In this Getter Robo, Hayato is badass.
Yes.
And Getter 2 is also pretty pretty good, I would say. Getter Robo in this one, I mean, I don't want to take away from Benkei, because Benkei is still, he's the funny fat guy, he's the comic relief. Though, he seems attracted to Michiru, but they don't develop that, because who cares? I don't. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Nobody I mean, cares. He did take up his pants in front of her.
That was really weird.
I remember they were just having a normal conversation,
and he's just
out of nowhere,
like,
he's like, "Hey, do you want to see this?" And just takes off his pants.
Yeah, I don't understand. The conversation wasn't leading to that at all. He's just like, "Do you want to look at my dick? Do you? It's okay. You can. I'll show you.
Hey, you know, I know this one-eyed monster. Do you want to see him? I don't know if he's an Oni or not. Rather large.
Something that is interesting about this is that they didn't decide to make Michiru is still, of course, Dr. Satome's daughter, but she is not young like she was before. She is... she looks like she's in her late 20s, mm-hmm. maybe her early 30s, and she is just a normal scientist along with Dr. Satome, although she's less insane than he is.
Well, Dr. Satome didn't really hit his insanity stride until...
The Getterary research?
Yeah.
Or I guess when his son died? Because...
Right before his son died, when he started having to beat up Oni with axes.
That was just... Great. Because Dr. Satome's son ends up dying because this sort of stops happening the longer the show goes on, but if you fight smaller Oni, sometimes they can cry out and larger Oni monsters will show up.
And eat them.
Yeah, and it's like their power source somehow. I'm not really sure what's going
on. Eating my own kind.
Mmm. Oh, thank God. This is one of the red ones. They're cherry flavored.
Oh, God, grape again.
Ah, crap. I hate watermelon-flavored gummy Oni.
They're gummy?
Yeah, of course. I mean, they've got bones, so there's a little bit of crunch.
I figured they were like Jolly Ranchers.
Sour apple Oni. Oh, no.
Oh, man.
Actually, I don't like sour apple.
I know you do, you freak.
I don't like watermelon. But... when that happens the first time, Dr. Satome's son is turning into an Oni because he was bitten. And he pilots the proto-getter to save them. He basically holds it down, and then they shoot the eagle at the Oni, and it explodes. And mm-hmm. it's just great. In order to maintain control, because he's mostly an Oni at that point when he's in proto-getter, he... Stabs himself in the shoulder with a knife, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know what I have to say? The animation in the show is pretty good on the onset, but it does get a little bit worse as the show goes on.
Yeah, I didn't notice.
Yeah, well, I did. I mean, it's not. It doesn't get bad, but it doesn't. It isn't as good. You told me something that a lot of people don't like the art style of Getter Robo.
It's merely the thickness of the lines.
I don't...
There are people that will consider this to be ugly.
I guess. Character design means almost nothing to me. Something can look outrageously stupid. As long as it still does cool things, it's fine with me. But, I mean, unless it's something... I guess there's a point where something becomes so outrageously stupid that it might bother me, but it generally character design means very little to me. And art style is very much the same way. I actually really like the art style of this show. I guess I can see where you would complain about the thickness of the lines, but it's Ken Ishikawa's art style, and it's very unique. This is something that you would look at and you're like, this is Ken Ishikawa's work. It's not something like most of anime where it's like, oh, a bunch of stupid high school kids bought a How to Draw manga book and thought that they could make a show. Which, I really hate How to Draw manga books, not because I don't like people trying to get their own artistry out, but because a lot of people are like, I copied this book, look at how great an artist I am. But that doesn't have to do with Getter Robo. I mean, it kind of does, but not really. So, Getter Beam, I just said that art design and character design doesn't mean that much to me, but I like the design of this Getter Robo. It's sort of like a mixture of various other Getters that there have been.
It's really mostly a combination between the original and Shin.
Well, even
with a little bit of G thrown in there.
The wings, Getter Wing is certainly G.
Yes.
By the way, I've been reading the Getter manga. I know that we occasionally have the conversation, like, what's better, the Getter Wing that is made of what looks like cloth, or the Getter Wing that is a metal plate. In the manga, it's the cloth.
Is it like an actual thing?
They don't describe it, but if you look at it, they do the thing that Black Getter does where it wraps the cloak around itself to reflect Getter beams.
Oh, I thought you were just saying that. I thought you were saying that the cloth type is actually better in the show.
No,
they openly admit to it.
No, in the manga, they only have the cloth type. There was never the metal plate type.
Hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, let's see. Musashi Benkei Bo. Benkei Musashi Bo.
The ruthless thug that slept in a place.
No, he's not. He's a hedonistic monk.
Yeah, but he was originally a ruthless thug with bad hair and smelt bad, and then he met a monk and was like, "Yeah."
Oh, yeah. I only sort of.
And then he became purified, and then all the monks at a shrine became Oni.
One of the things I liked the most about that, Benkei, is he always falls asleep and his master yells at him. Eventually, however, they turn into Oni when Ryoma crash lands near them. In the Eagle, I don't remember why he was flying out by himself anymore, though.
They split up. I think it was on, like, reconnaissance or something.
I guess.
Scouting mission. Maybe if I look in the forest, there's going to be an Oni there.
It turned out he was right. One of the things I like the most is that Benkei's original master, he turns into an Oni and he tries to charge Benkei, but he does that thing where he just pushes on his forehead and the guy can't get any closer. It's like he's fighting it's like you see the jock trying to fight the nerd is trying to fight back with nerd foo, and he just like holds his forehead out so that the guy can't get to him. It's exactly like that, except that he's an Oni and a big fat guy.
So which one's the jock?
The big fat guy? I'm not really sure.
I don't know.
It's actually not bad. Getter Robo surprisingly does pull off emotion rather well at times. I actually did like when Dr. Satome's son died and Satome has to give the order, I have to sacrifice my son, but you actually can kind of tell that he's hurting inside. It does one of those things that I like. I don't like really talkative things. I don't like when things are done with words when they shouldn't be. Things should be done with as little words as possible, and this show can do that at times. I actually like it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've gone on long enough. Do you want to just talk about when they go to the past?
Shoot.
Well, there is one other thing I have to say. They follow the same trajectory as the manga did, because originally in the manga it started off that Satome piloted Getter 3. Then the anime got popular, and they introduced Musashi. And he started piloting Getter 3, and it follows the same way that they just sort of accidentally find the Getter 3 pilot by random chance.
Mm-hmm.
I want to bring that up, because I really like the way that Hayato says, change Getter 2.
Oh.
I don't know what it is about the way that he says it, because you have Ryoma, who says it the pretty normal way, change Getter 1! Switch on! But I really like the way that Hayato says his, because he says it, change Getter 2!
He's so sly about it.
He sounds like he's slid onto the dance floor and he's gonna show off his sweet moves. And I have no idea why I like that so much, but I do. So yeah, a point, they go to the past.
Yeah, it just kind of happens.
Well, what happens is that the Oni, the giant Oni that appear that really necessitate the use of Getter Robo...
They come out of a portal from the sky.
And Ryoma says at one point it happens that Ryoma's just like, we gotta go in that portal. And they agree. And
yes, and they agree after Ryoma says, when there is a hole, it is a man's job to thrust into it. And then they go in there, and they end up in a lake.
They end up in... the past of Japan. What I don't understand...
Well, they end up in a lake, and the bottom of the lake kind of crumbles.
Also has... Yeah, that sends them to...
And it leads to the past.
It sends them through the what? And they end up in the past.
I didn't see a wheelchair.
Are you sure? Are you sure they weren't sent into the past because Combatler V was hitting them with super electromagnetic spin?
I'm pretty sure.
I didn't see Combatler V, but maybe.
But they do go into the what?
The thing I don't understand about how they go into the past is that when they go into the past, they all show up at different times, and it seems that Getter Robo as a whole shows up first, then...
And then a mountain develops around it.
Apparently, yeah. Or, like, it lands in the mountain, because according to, The lady that Ryoma meets up with, the sword that apparently uses Getter energy was created by a rock that was cleaved in half by a giant axe wielded by a giant. So I'm thinking that that Getter 1 crashed into the mountain with the tomahawk out, and that rock was infused with Getter energy that allowed them to make that katana.
Maybe.
It shouldn't ever be anything that complicated, but that's what I think happened.
Cape full of swords.
What I don't understand is that Getter shows up first, then Benkei shows up, then Hayato shows up, then Ryoma shows up. But they were all in Getter. Why didn't they all show up at the same time? And in
well, if you go through a time... Okay,
if you're going through
happen.
What?
We're
going
to go through a time portal, and when you show up a year before me, then you won't be laughing.
What?
We're going to go through a time portal. When you show up a year before me, you won't be laughing.
Okay, fair enough. If we travel through time to feudal Japan, and there is a warlord lady who is...
Has
like,
a flying battleship?
Yeah, I'm totally going to try to make it with her. I don't know. Ryoma seemed like he could have if there had been more time. And she hadn't committed seppuku to recharge the sword.
Going to make this sword really shiny with my blood.
I have heard people say that the way she is drawn makes her look really silly, especially her breasts, because they are kind of goofy-looking. I actually have to say, while the art style may make her look a little bit silly, I think that if you were a feudal warlord samurai woman, you probably would be really bulky like that.
Maybe.
And I'm not... I don't know. She seemed alright. She was willing to commit seppuku on the spot in order to recharge a demon sword.
So demon sword.
I appreciate women who have balls. What can I say?
That was really gay.
That's the only way I could think to put it. It worked for Yoko and Nia in Getter Robo, damn it, in Gurren Lagann. And they were cool.
Oh, you know what? Because I saw Getter Robo, G Gundam.
it all comes back to Getter.
Because I saw Gurren Lagann before I saw this, the first time I saw the ending, I was like, that's very reminiscent of Gurren Lagann. Wait.
Hold on. It's an interesting thing. I really, it didn't happen, but it would have been cool if the interest in Gurren Lagann had spored, created this new interest in Getter Robo, because a lot of the ideas in Gurren Lagann come from Getter Robo, like a green energy that is the will of evolution itself.
Yes.
Except that Getter rays come from space, as opposed to spiral energy, which is self-generated.
Which comes from your gut.
Which comes from awesome. Did I tell you about that? That in Super Robot Wars Z2, Kamina's glasses are an item, and they give you...
Yes, 20 will.
They give you plus 20 to will. At the start of battle, that was great. So, yeah, they end up in the past. They show up at different times. Benkei actually gets married because he's been there for a year. Something I do like is that they end up having to use dynamite to blow out the Getter. And Benkei's like, oh, yeah, I guess you would know a lot about dynamite, Hayato being a terrorist and all.
Wait.
That was another thing that happens. I don't remember. I think when they're riding to the Getter while Hayato is talking, Hayato, being the smart one, Benkei, of course, falls asleep in the middle of it, and Hayato shoots him in the head with a gun. And all it does is give Hayato a ball. Benkei a bald spot. That is, he has a thick skull, and in the best possible way, because it apparently deflects bullets.
Well, you remember in The Simpsons how Homer had, like, an extra quarter thick skull?
An extra quarter thick of cerebrospinal fluid? Yes.
Yeah.
It's like that.
It's like that.
Well, that's...
Only a lot more of it.
That's the... Homer Simpson syndrome is the pre-version of Benkei syndrome, in which your skull is made out of
it's
Kevlar.
The onset.
Yeah, your skull's just made out of Kevlar. They end up getting Getter back. Getter can be piloted in any form by any of the pilots. It's just that Getter 1, the pilot and the Eagle takes priority command, and I think the Jaguar takes secondary command, and it cycles like that. They end up fighting an Oni, and Hayato pulls a really cool move with Getter 2 and the Tomahawk.
Yes. Because the Tomahawk is just kind of out there.
Yeah, apparently it was dropped by Getter 1, so it's just sort of out there and around, which, like I've said, Getter Energy can just produce stuff at will, because they don't. I don't think they get that Tomahawk back, and later on they just have more. What he does is that the Tomahawk is sitting in a mountain, and Hayato actually grabs it with Getter 2 and pulls a really cool slash down the center of that demon.
Clean enough.
Yeah, it's actually pretty damn great. It's... Every pilot pulls off a pretty cool move in this show at least once.
Benkei, especially at the end.
Benkei does. Ryoma's best one that I can think of happens right after. I would say that one's probably Hayato's, because that one was pretty great. Although, to be fair, I think it's the final fight for Getter Robo against the Four Gods. I think that's when Hayato grips up one of their heads with the claw arm of Getter 2 and twists it so that it rips his spine out Mortal Kombat style.
I don't remember that at all.
No? That may not happen in the final battle, but it definitely happens, and it is definitely awesome.
Sounds it.
They go to fight Seimei, who came to the past to fight Getter Robo because he knew it would show up. He's specifically interested in Ryoma, because Ryoma is like this conduit of pure Getter for Earth.
If you want Getter energy, you have to ask him.
Yeah, it comes from Ryoma. Like, portions it out. You see him sitting in a reactor meditating. That's how
we get to the future. He actually just is Getter Emperor.
Well, actually,
what?
They beat Seimei, and the best move is just when they fire Getter Beam, and Seimei reflects it with one of his shields. They try slashing at it. They try different things. It doesn't really work. What I love is that when Seimei says, when your beam fails, you just resort to brute force, and Ryoma responds, if it fails, we'll just make it work. Punches the arm through the armor, tears it off, and fires Getter Beam. The shield still blocks it, but the arm acts as a conduit that floods Seimei's thing with Getter energy and blows it up. Creates a vortex that allows them to get back to the future. They've apparently been gone for 3 years relative to the future. I guess they just went 3 years forward from when they left. And the
time travel is weird.
It isn't Getter Robo.
It is in pop culture as large.
Yeah, there's no consistent rules. And Get a Robo already doesn't really have any rules anyway.
There are no rules. There is only Ryoma.
There is only the Getter. The Getter itself. I love it that way, though. It's so much fun. Mm-hmm. They get back, and despite the fact that there have been no Oni that have showed up, they've turned the Sadame Lab into a base that can fire an infinite amount of missiles. Something that I like, though, is that they fire the missiles, and Ryoma's dodging them, but eventually they all hit them, and Ryoma just says, "Enough of this shit," and throws Getter Tomahawk at the base. Which is pretty great.
Yes.
They get back to the base, and it turns out they've been gone for 3 years, and it also turns out that in the time they've been gone, no Oni have ever showed up.
Ever.
It is though the Oni themselves show up in response to Getter's existence.
The existence of Ryoma.
Yeah, Ryoma is large, but Getter Robo entirely.
I want to see. I want to see Ryoma without Getter take on an Oni.
What are the big Oni?
Yeah. Take on one of the four gods.
He could probably do it.
He would will the Getter. He would will the Getter. What's it called? Eagle.
Yeah.
It just make one out of Getter energy.
Probably. Make a full on. That happens at the end of the show, but we'll get there when we get there. They've been testing a new Getter reactor. This is when the show starts to pull less from classic Getter Robo manga and more from Getter Robo Shin Getter Robo. They've been testing this new Super Getter reactor, and Ryoma test pilots it by jumping into space.
And then just flies forward.
Well, he flies forward so fast that he goes to the future, the post-Getter
apocalypse future, where everyone is a Getter.
Yeah, people are literally integrated into the Getter. Mm-hmm. They go around killing other people who are integrated into the Getter to salvage their reactors for Getter energy and salvage their parts to make their own bodies bigger and better. Apparently, there's an ultimate source of Getter out in the sky. Hayato was the closest person to get it. And I'm almost certain that Benkei, who is the first person Ryoma meets up with, is in Getter Poseidon. And when he meets up with Hayato later on, he's in Getter Liger. Sadame tells him to go to the future. Actually, there's a really creepy moment where you see a baby that has a cockpit growing out of it. It is unnerving.
Weird.
It's unnerving. It's actually kind of scary. Kenshikawa and Go Nagai know how to freak you the fuck out whenever they want. But Ryoma ends up going to find this ultimate source of Getter, and it turns out that Ryoma himself has become sort of Getter super being. At least that's what I got from that. But he snaps back away.
Well, I'm pretty sure, they showed Getter Emperor, and then they showed, an overshadow of Ryoma's face over it.
Well, no, because he punches the Getter Emperor, and it shatters, and then it's just Ryoma. And he's freaking out. And then they wake up in Ryoma wakes up and he's floating in space. And that at that point he becomes afraid of Getter energy and Getter Robo, so he leaves the Sadame Labs.
And beats up the Yakuza that tore down his dojo.
Yeah, with a bulldozer.
And Carlos's apartment.
Carlos! Ryoma has a Mexican neighbor. There's a weird moment where he walks home and Carlos says, "Hey, Ryoma, you still look poor." And Ryoma says, "Shut the fuck up, Carlos. Go back to Mexico. The hatred of immigrants spans even to Japan, even though that's actually not rare. I'm pretty sure.
There's actually a point where two prostitutes hit on him.
Yes, and it turns out that they are illegal Filipino immigrants.
Yep. Actually, they ask him to come back to their place. And he's like, "What are you talking about? I don't have any money."
When Ryoma comes back after leaving the Sadame Labs, he finds out that they were deported.
To the Philippines.
They just say the Philippines. They didn't say, Taiwan, did they?
I'm pretty sure it was the Philippines.
Yeah. So if you ever go to the Philippines, that's where you can get your skeezy hookers. I don't know. I've never been there.
I don't know. The only thing I know
about the Philippines are the 100-year-old egg, and that's enough of a reason for me to never go there.
Ooh, the what?
You don't know about 100-year eggs?
No, I do not.
They take a duck egg and they bury it for a couple months, and they dig it up, and then you eat it.
Ew.
Yeah, I don't get it either. So, moving on. Ryoma... What did I want to mention next? That whole scene where Ryoma goes to the post-Getter Apocalypse, that is pulled straight out of the manga. The difference is that when Ryoma sees the vision of the ultimate Getter, that's when he goes up to space, and that's when you see the Emperor Armada. And that's what really freaks Ryoma out. And then I think he goes to live with, like, Michiru and Genki for a while. I don't really know what that's all about.
He does?
Yeah, that's what's sort of going on.
Wait, Genki was in this show?
He wasn't in this show. I'm talking about the manga right now.
Oh.
Because Michiru was still young and not a scientist.
And not dead?
Yeah, and not dead. Although, she doesn't die in this, does she?
No, she doesn't.
No, I don't think so. Although she is dead in the post-Getter Apocalypse. Anyway, Ryoma decides, I've had enough of this, and that's all he says. Hayato actually tries to egg him on to come back to the Getter, and it actually doesn't work on him. But Seimei shows up, having survived being killed, and he is merged with his two female Oni servants, who are half-naked and...
blind.
Yeah, well,
and
I say
bandaged. They're bubble head nurses.
I say that they're half naked, and I mean that very literally. Half of their they've all merged into this super battleship that Seimei is part of. Battle boat, yes.
Giant organic boat.
Yes, and half of their bodies are sticking out of the front, and one boob is out on each of them. So when I say
maybe
half naked,
cut them
I mean
in
literally.
Half.
We can make Baron Ashra, except it will be two girl parts, so there will be two boobs.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I get to grab two boobs now.
But wait, I don't have a male part. Now I don't want to do that anymore.
You know you know what? I think I would be okay with having one complete set of genitalia rather than half a wang and one ball and half a vagina. I don't want to think about Baron Ashra's genitals. Stop making me think about that.
I didn't bring that up.
Who did?
You did. I brought up the idea of cutting them in half and making a whole woman. You brought up genitalia. Can we please stop talking about half penises?
No. I need everyone else to share my pain.
Can we just talk about Ryoma's motorcycle?
When he pulls an Energer Z and ramps into Getter 1.
Yeah.
Because something about the new Getter reactor makes it so that Ryoma is like the Getter 1 is the ultimate power, and Getter 2 and Getter 3 just don't do it as well. But it's not Getter 1 itself, it's Ryoma taps into the ultimate Getter. What happens is that Seimei actually attacks in the middle of Shinjuku, and Ryoma sees a dead person. He sees a lot of things that mirror the things he saw in the Getter Apocalypse vision, and he's like, if I'm going to see hell either way, then I might as well pilot it. And he jumps into Getter, and they beat the shit out of Seimei. And it's pretty good. Pretty damn good. Seimei seems to be aware of it, too, because he, is like, is Ryoma not with you? Then this isn't even worth it.
Why am I here? I came to the future for this.
After a little bit more, they're exploring
There's a giant golden sun god that comes out of the sky.
Yeah, this is when they start exploring more the idea of what the Getter is, and the reason that they're fighting against Getter Rays, and Getter Robo specifically, is because Getter Rays are considered to be a danger to the universe.
Yes. They at a point, do say that the end result... Well, they say that this will be the end result in show Getter Emperor. So my assumption is that the end result of Getter is creating a universe.
supposedly. Getter Emperor is never shown to be as big as the Tengen Toppa Gurren Lagann, but it is supposed to be growing infinitely. And to my understanding, eventually it becomes a universe unto itself. I think what it is that other humans are... They say this a lot, that humans have been chosen by the Getter Rays, and...
Well, the humans have enough guts.
Yeah, we have enough balls to take Getter. And they're like, Getter Rays will subsume the universe, so we must stop them at their source, which has become the Getter Robo. Ryoma actually retorts to this rather well. The only people who are swallowed by the Getter are the people who can't fucking handle it. And then he kicks some serious ass. They go up to fight the gods, and this is when Ryoma goes totally crazy. Actually, there is a Getter reaction where all the proto-Getters show up, and this is one of those moments, it bothered me in the show, where they don't actually animate the robots moving, they just crossfade frames of the robots in different positions. I really hate when anime does that to show movement over a great period, but it's just something you gotta deal with sometimes.
Oh, it's important to note, this is after Benkei tries blowing up Getter Robo.
Yeah, he sees it as a threat to the universe and tries to blow it up with a rocket launcher. What I love is that one of the scientists tries to stop him, so Benkei threatens him with the rocket launcher. This scientist is standing 4 feet in front of Benkei, and he's totally serious.
Mm-hmm. He actually shoots, just above his head, just to prove it.
Yeah, he does.
All the ammo I use on you is less ammo I have to destroy Getter.
This doesn't actually have to do with this point of the show, but Benkei is often seen eating a bag of potato chips, and I love the fact that its name is Big Potato. That's all it says.
Big potato. We use precisely one very large potato to make this entire bag.
We don't waste any part of the potato.
You see that really disgusting one that's actually potato skin?
Oh, God. That's disgusting.
Fried to a crisp and then covered in barbecue sauce. That's the only flavor this comes in.
Big potato.
You can buy this at Hammurabi's. But only there.
Ryoma is able to get Benkei to stop by beating the shit out of him.
Yes, and then they say someone tries to take him away, and Ryoma tells him to stop because he's the only one left with any sanity.
Yeah, Benkei is the heart and soul that keeps Getter Robo from going crazy. Not that it is
a little late.
Well, more crazy. Anyway, one thing I like about it is that at a point Ryoma does knock him out, and Benkei wakes up and he's still trying to beat Ryoma up. And he says,
"Get you.
Stop it, stop it! Our fight's already done. You lost."
I can take you any day. I may have had 5 beers. And I'm a Buddhist monk priest, but
something like
never
that.
Had any beer, but I can take you if he falls backwards, falls off a cliff.
Aw, oh, poor Benkei. Your death was not as interesting as Musashi's. Oh well.
Benkei doesn't die.
No. In the Getter Robo manga, he ends up piloting Getter Robo G in tunnels 2,000 meters under the earth. That's where I'm at right now. I'm not sure what the results of that is. I'll tell you later.
Okay.
So it's around this point. There are a couple other things that, there's a massive Getter reaction that causes Dr. Satome's death. He makes a heroic sacrifice to give Getter Robo the final boost it needs in order to take on the gods themselves.
Yes, and then, they beat up all but the giant sun gold god.
Well, that's not just it. They actually managed to paralyze Getter Robo, and Ryoma, much in the same way that Dr. Satome's son did, stabs himself in the shoulder and pulls off the "Don't underestimate us."
That doesn't happen yet.
Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't. We haven't even brought up the fact that they've gone to Getter Hell.
They've gone to some.
No, you just brought up the Getter reaction. Then the Gold Sun God goes into it, and then they go through it, and they just kind of end up in the, as Ben K put it, the Cauldron of Hell, which is just a place where all the dead Getters are.
Oh, I was thinking about once they go to some desolate planet that I don't remember how they ended up on, but all
that's when they go through the Getter reaction that Dr. Sodomy caused.
Oh, and that's where. Yeah, because I do remember all the discarded proto-Getters.
Yeah, that's when that happens.
Then the four various gods start beating the shit out of Getter Robo, because they did kill three of them, but they come back to life.
Yep.
Ryoma, of course, has a great reaction to this.
You come back to life, I'll just keep killing you.
I'll kill you as many times as it takes.
How long have we been here? Some 3 days, and you keep dying.
Yeah, seriously, don't you realize?
Why don't you just give up?
Seriously, just go away. I don't even want to fight you anymore. Come back, Getter Robo. I'm so lonely.
I live to fight you.
Yes. Ryoma says, don't underestimate us, and there's a massive Getter reaction where all of the old Getter Robo reactors give Getter energy to the current Getter Robo. And Ryoma goes fucking insane. Now, understand, Ryoma is fucking insane, but this is fucking insane by Ryoma standards. It actually, he goes so insane that it almost kills Hayato and Benkei.
Yes.
But they are able to yell loud enough to get him to come back to normal.
Yes, and then immediately after yelling, they pass out, and then Ryoma has to wake them up.
Yeah, who woke who up?
You guys who woke who up?
You guys were really loud. You woke me up. Who woke who up? And that's when they pull. My favorite thing about Getter Robo when it fights is the rat is when they do rapid fire changes.
Yeah, that was why in Armageddon I loved the fight between them and Dr. Sodomy and the two, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Blue.
Yeah, and when they have the fight with Getter Robo G,
where they keep changing,
they have the constant rapid fire changes to oh, you know that scene? I think I told you this. The scene where they say, "Guys, you can't change without looking at the controls." That's the difference between development team and combat team, where they catch Getter whatever it's called with Getter G. The eagle. Mid-transformation.
Dragon.
It's just called the dragon?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. They catch the dragon mid-transformation. That's pulled straight out of the Shin Getter Robo manga. And it's badass. Mostly because they give a time by. They give a second mark for how long it takes. Your transformation takes 0.2 seconds longer than ours does. And that's enough of a margin for us to beat you. That was great. Mostly because it's like, that's the skill. Getter 1 can beat Getter Robo G if you have enough skill with the pilots.
If you don't need to look at the controls.
Yeah, that helps. A 0.2 second difference is all we needed, baby.
This is what happens when you're a member of a real team.
Not a team of dinosaurs that steal Getter Robo G.
Yeah, wait.
That doesn't happen in Armageddon, but it does happen in the manga.
Ooh.
Yes.
Thank you.
Very much. They're dinosaurs that are disguised as the normal Getter team, but they still have dinosaur arms. So I don't know how they fool anyone. But it doesn't seem to matter because anyone who notices, they just cut them up with their dinosaur arms. So I don't really know why they didn't just go in and cut people up.
Well, that way the cameras wouldn't see them.
It wouldn't be a security alert.
Yeah.
Fair enough. In the final fight, there's a lot of rapid changing between Getter forms. Getter 2 gets at a really good point. I'm almost certain, he fires the drill missile, and the guy blocks the very tip of it with his sword, so Getter 2 zooms over. Getter 2 is the anime. They had a problem where they didn't really just. It's just underground Getter Robo.
They didn't make him really fast Getter Robo.
They did?
No, they didn't.
Yeah. One of the thing that makes Getter 2 as good as it is that it is crazy fast.
Mm-hmm.
So he is able to grip that guy up and twist his head off with the rotating claw arm.
I swear to God, I don't remember that happening.
It totally happens, and it is brutal looking because he pulls the guy's spine out, and this being a golden god. Well, that guy was blue, but he was a god.
No, this guy was red.
Well, he was some color. It wasn't gold. But
he was green. He's a lizard. He's a dinosaur.
He was a rainbow. He was a rainbow dinosaur. Butterfly. But he pulls
that magic scrolls.
He pulls the whole... No, the magic scrolls guy was someone else. That no, guy that- was red, but that was Getter One. Getter One fought that guy.
No.
There was a blue guy with a katana that Getter Two fights.
No, I'm pretty sure that was the guy that fought Getter 3.
No! No, it wasn't!
No, Getter 1 took out the lizard.
Getter 1 took out the lizard guy,
then Getter 2 took out the scroll guy.
No, he didn't! He took out the katana guy, I'm almost certain.
You're wrong.
Getter 3 is the one. It doesn't matter, because they're fighting in the air, and Getter 3 is not known for its ability to fly. So what they do is they open Get and form Getter 3 above the guy and land on him. And it is great. Then they transform back into Getter 1, and they fight.
Golden Sun guy becomes really big.
And very powerful. And
cuts the planet in half.
Yes. They do try to fight him with a Getter Energy Tomahawk, but it doesn't quite work. And they get the ultimate moment with a beam clash with Getter Beam, and this guy just firing I'm a Golden Sun God Super Beam, because I can. He started saying stuff like, a soul should not be inserted into a doll, and Ryoma's response is, don't talk shit, I can't understand. And then he overwhelms him with the Getter Beam and kills him. Well, he blows him mostly apart. It's like, no, I will concede defeat. Most of his body is missing at this point. It's like half of his torso and head. It says, I will concede defeat at this point, but as long as the Getter exists, I will never stop coming after you. And then Getter Emperor shows up and crushes him.
In its hand.
And he says, don't you see, this is where the Getter leads. Ryoma says, guys, I gotta knock that thing down. In fact, I'm almost certain he says, I gotta knock that thing down.
Yeah, that's what he says. Yeah. And everyone's like, how are you gonna do that? Isn't it obvious? I'm going to round straight into it.
He launches Getter 1. He launches the eagle off, which stays in its Getter 1 form. It doesn't turn back into the jet. And he just flies straight at it. It cuts at that point, and we...
No, the Getter Emperor fires a Getter Beam at it.
Oh, yeah. It fires a Getter Beam at it, and then Ryoma's still flying through. And then it cuts.
Yes.
We go back to the Satome Labs now that it is just a crater.
This is 2 years later.
Yes. The Oni have stopped attacking, and they muse about Ryoma and the fact that they haven't seen him in that time. Hayato and Michiru think that he's dead, and Benkei thinks that he could still be alive. You go out to space, and you see Ryoma in classic Getter Robo 1, with double tomahawks and the cape. I don't remember what they're fighting. Isn't he just fighting, like, demons?
Nah, I'm pretty sure he was still fighting Getter Emperor.
No, I'm almost certain that he's not fighting Getter Robos anymore. I'm almost certain that he is fighting stuff that...
This is kind of there. Well, he's trying to stop Shin Getter Robo from happening. He's trying to take out the demons before they get to the moon.
Well, here's what happens. The enemies of Getter Robo G, the 100 Demon Empire, at a point, their emperor went to space, and these space demons fixed him up and sent them back after Getter Robo. He gets stomped, and then there are just space demons, and I'm pretty sure that's what Ryoma's fighting at the end of the show.
Maybe.
And he just flies at them, and it says, there goes Ryoma, and the show is over. In my opinion, this means that the Getter Valhalla that exists at the end of Getter Robo Armageddon is where all Getter teams ultimately end up going.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just where he ended up as part of that. This is
Remember your idea that that like whenever they're on a break, they're all talking about how their various Musashis died.
Yes, and that Ryoma's confused because he didn't know anybody named Musashi.
I know this guy named Benkei Musashibo.
Well, that's just weird. All the Benkeis are sitting around and are like, what the fuck?
My last name is Kurama.
I play baseball.
If you couldn't tell.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't have hair in your universe?
What?
How big am I? I had a rocket launcher. I tried to blow up Getter. Your universe is weird.
Well, I think if New Getter Robo, I don't think this one's on Netflix, but I believe you can buy it on Amazon, and you absolutely should. This is, if you're a fan of Getter in any way, this is probably, honestly, it's a tie. I am tied between Armageddon and this, but this is one of the best Getter Robo shows you're ever going to watch.
Ever.
I seriously suggest checking it out. You should buy it legitimately, but if you have to pirate it, some things just are worth it. Honestly, this Getter Robo we're talking about. Don't pirate. Piracy is bad, kids. You ready to stop?
Yeah.
I know what we're going to say, Gabon. We're going to say it. The very phrase that makes the universe itself quake in terror. Change Getter Emperor 1! You ready?
No, I wanted to say Change Getter 2, man.
I've never seen Getter Emperor 2. I'd like to.
I'm pretty sure that it doesn't matter. Let's do it.
You ready?
Yeah.
On three. One, two, three.
Yeah.